Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Luke 24, verses 28 through 32, the Lord had been crucified and was resurrected, and there were a couple of disciples who were walking on a journey. It says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Jesus had encountered them on the road, but they did not recognize him. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? Acts 17, verse 27 and 28 says, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So tonight, just take a line out of that song. I want to be aware of his presence. I want to make sure that I am aware of his presence. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's pray together before you're seated and before we get into the lesson. Lord, we love you tonight and thank you for your goodness and mercy. So thankful to be in your presence. God, I pray that we won't miss you when you're close to us, God, as you walk with us, Lord. And tonight, let us hear what you would say. Let it encourage us, challenge us, change us, make us better. Make us ready, Lord, for that day that you'll come to get us. God, we ask tonight to bless the teaching of your word in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise before you're seated. He's good. You can be seated. God bless you. To be in his presence. You know, sometimes we talk about being in the presence of greatness. You know, sometimes when you're around someone who is maybe superior in their field, it could be, you know, a doctor, a scientist, a theologian, whoever. They're the number one person in their field, and the comment will be made, you're in the presence of greatness. You don't really realize that, and that it's an honor, and often it leaves us kind of awestruck to meet those people. Sometimes you realize that they're just regular people, but they're just really good at what they do. When we were in England, we went to Buckingham Palace, and they had told us that if this certain flag was flying, that meant that the king was there, in there. And so, of course, we were looking for the flag to see if he was there. Of course, we weren't going to go shake his hand, But, you know, it would just been something, though, that his presence was just on the other side of those walls. And it's just pretty neat, you know, in the human nature to think of these people that have some sort of fame and notoriety in the world, that if I might get in their presence if I bumped into them, what would I say? Would you even recognize him? My wife and I were, as we sat in the airport, especially in London, you hear that famous people and travel through there. So we're steadily scanning the crowds, just trying to see, you know, if you see anybody that might be famous. But what would you do if you saw them? You know, you run up and get locked up for trying to get an autograph or something. I don't know, but if it's just something that we want to get in the presence sometimes, just to say, hey, yeah, I got a picture with them. I saw them. We actually, at one of the places we were at, one of the ladies of royalty, I can't remember, she's the Duchess of something, one of them places, but while we were eating, I kept looking at her. I said, she looks so familiar. But you think you see people all the time, and as we went into the the house at Highclere Castle, I saw this painting, and I asked the tour guide, I said, who is that lady? And she told me it was. I said, is she here today? She said, yeah, she's around the property. I said, that was her. We were in her presence of that royalty and didn't even realize it because she was having a scone and drinking coffee. So it was that every day, just going about our way, doing things, and there was this person of royalty, of influence and power, I guess, had a title. And, you know, if I had known that was her, I probably would have been the tourist and went over and said, hey, could we get a picture with you? And just we did that, you know, but we didn't know who it was. I don't want to miss his presence. You know, we talked about not missing these moments and these callings, but what I'm talking about today is more on an everyday, simpler thing, is that you have to understand that you walk with God every day. He's around you everywhere. He's with you whatever you do. How aware are you of the presence of God in your life? Because when we're, you know, to be aware means that you have a knowledge or a perception. And that's the thing. We know God. We know who He is. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's the Lord. But do we perceive when He is nudging us, talking with us, leading us, guiding us? He said, I will give you my Spirit so it can guide you, can lead you into all truth. Do you think there's a day that He doesn't want you walking in truth? Then His Spirit is a daily guide. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. Give me what I need. He's always right there with that. I don't want to miss His marvelous presence. There's no days where God is better than He was than the day before. It's like, you know, every day, any chance you get to be in His presence or to recognize and understand that I have the greatest gift. The Scripture talks about we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's something that God has given to us so that we can go through this life. We're not high-minded and haughty and above everybody else, but we are children of the Most High God. And we don't have to walk around with our noses in the air or like we levitate from place to place. We're not above other people, but we are special to God. And God is with us. Yeah, God is with us, walking with us, talking with us, encouraging us, comforting us, leading us, guiding us, teaching us, having fellowship with us. And how often do we miss just those moments when we're walking, we're just going through life and we're walking, and He's right there talking to us, speaking with us, and we're so caught up in the events of what's going on that we can't really understand or recognize that God's trying to tell me something. These disciples were marveling when they first met Jesus on the road. They didn't know it was Him. And He said, why are you so sad as you walk along? And He said, are you a stranger? Do you not know what has gone on? And so they're just going on and on. But He begins to open the Scripture. He's telling them, shouldn't it have happened? Wasn't it supposed? It was written. And He's opening the Scripture and all these things. And they still can't see Him yet. They can't understand what's going on. They're still so heartbroken and caught up with what's going on that here's this risen Savior walking with them, trying to comfort them, trying to give them understanding. But they're so caught up in the events of life and what has just happened that they can't even recognize the presence of the risen Savior. I don't want to miss these marvelous moments with God. I don't want to be so wrapped up in whatever it is I'm doing that I can't recognize that God is trying to speak to me. He was talking to them in their sadness as they went along their journey. He was trying to help them understand this was supposed to happen, and they just could not heard, now they testify to themselves later, didn't our hearts burn in us while he talked to us? How many times have you felt that feeling? And you're walking to class, you're driving to work, you're working around the house, your mind, there's something going on, and you just feel this tug, this pull, this nudge, this unction from the Holy Ghost, but there's so much going on that you push that back and don't recognize this is one of those marvelous moments in your day-to-day life that he is saying, I'm trying to lead you. I'm trying to guide you. I'm trying to help you get through. I need you to be aware of my presence. The scripture says that his mercy is new every morning. I wake up, mercy, not, I'm talking about mercy from God. I wake up, open my eyes, I take my breath, put my feet on the ground, and I am in his mercy. His mercy has entered into my life. The reason I'm breathing, I lived through the night, I made it. God was good to me through the night and kept me. And now here I am awake and I'm in his presence. But I got to make the coffee. I got to get dressed. I got to get to work. I got to get this. And I miss that little time where he could direct me for that day. If the scripture is true, and you know it is, that he loadeth me daily with benefits. So do you ever get to the end of the day and go, did I miss God today? Because the scripture says he loads me daily. What did I miss? Do you ever get so busy your day just, and all of a sudden you're ready to go to bed and you realize, I haven't read, I haven't prayed, I haven't talked to God today. I haven't been out sinning or running around going crazy, but I still haven't spent time with him. What did I miss? Which benefit did I forfeit today because I was so busy I was unaware of his presence? Because I promise you, this Father is always knocking on the door. I'll come in. I know we talk about that as a lot of people use that scripture just as your initial salvation, but God is always knocking on the door. Hey, let's spend some time together. Let's commune together. The blessed man is the one who meditates in his law day and night. He's constantly on his mind. He finds a quiet time to say, Lord, what are you saying? What are you trying to tell me? What do I need to understand here? And then understand this, is that just because you can't feel him or perceive him does not mean he's not there. Job, in his situation, was so with so many things going on, people that were talking against him, his wife against him, his body was breaking down, he had lost a great many things, and all these things had caused him to say, I look forward, he's not there. I look behind me, I can't find him. I look where he works, but I can't perceive him. He's over and over. But even when I can't perceive him, he knows the way I take. Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers and to their cries. God is always there, whether I feel that or not. And so I can be aware of his presence without even feeling him. Because the word makes me aware that he's always there. God is always with me. And so that's why I want to make sure that, Lord, I'm not resisting that nudge. I'm not resisting that burning in my heart, that feeling that we weren't the ones that apostolics didn't invent a holy unction from the Lord. It was happening back then when Jesus was speaking to them. That word was so powerful. They didn't even know who he was, but didn't our hearts burn inside of us? Our bodies couldn't even handle what he was saying. We felt that inside of us, something different about this man talking. We couldn't even recognize who he was. I don't want to do that. It's not a question if he's there. The question is, are we aware? He's always there. There's a story, and I'm sure you've heard this story before. I have used this example in preaching before, but there was a place in Washington. I'm not French, and I can't speak French, but the place has a French name, so forgive me right now. It's La Enfant Plaza. All right, you know, I think I said that all right. La Enfant, so Plaza. All right. So back in January of 2007 on a Friday at 7:51 a.m., a young man in blue jeans and a T-shirt with a ball cap walks in, sets up, pulls a violin out of a case, throws in some little change money into the case, little seed money to try to raise some money. It's rush hour. And for the next 43 minutes, this young man plays six different classical pieces as people are passing him by. 1,097 people walked past him that day. They did not realize that it was the child prodigy Joshua Bell. The violin that he was playing was a $3.5 million Stradivarius. Just 3 days prior to this, he had played at a packed house at Boston Symphony Hall, and 2 weeks later, he would play in an arena with standing room only. They were paying over $100 a ticket to see him. It estimates in his concert that he earns $1,000 a minute. In the terminal there where he was at, he raised $32.17. Only seven people stopped for longer than 60 seconds. And only one person out of 1,097 people that walked past, only one person recognized him as who he was. They were in the presence of greatness. He was no doubt one of the greatest violinists on planet Earth. And because he was not in a tuxedo, because he was not on the stage, because there was no conductor, there was no lights, because all the things that where you would normally see him, they just walked past him. There's another guy trying to hustle money. There's another guy, you know, looking for a handout. And here he is playing these beautiful, wonderful, I love classical music. But my wife got me hooked on that. She got me off of before I got in church, I was a headbanger. So I got away from Iron Maiden and went to Beethoven and things like that. But it's so beautiful, and to watch someone who can really do that, it's almost as enjoyable to just watch someone who can play at that level, to just watch their passion as they're doing that. And here these people are in a subway terminal, a bus terminal, whatever that place is, and they're just rushing, and it's loud, and people are just not even thinking about it, and all this beauty is happening right in their presence, and they miss it. What people were paying hundreds of dollars for, they could have heard it for free. And they missed it. And how many times do we miss the beauty of what God is doing in our life because we are unaware, because it's in a place where we just don't think God would be. God's not going to show up here. God's not going to do anything right here. This is not where God dwells. But you can't go high enough to get away from him, low enough to get away from him, or far away enough to get away from him. He's everywhere. And God's presence is there. God's presence is there. And how many times do we miss these times where God is working? God, how often is God performing the miraculous, the beautiful, the wonderful in our presence, but we miss it? The scripture says that angels desire to look into the things that we have seen and experienced. Peter wrote that in 1 Peter. He said, how many times do the angels desire to look into these things that have been given to you, but we walk right past it and miss it on a daily basis? Oh, we talk about revival and seeing miracles, signs, and wonders, and they're right there ready and available. When you read in the book of Acts, Once these people were filled with the Spirit and they became witnesses and that power had come upon them, it was in their daily lives where they saw the beauty and power of God. It wasn't at conference and service and things. It was just in their day-to-day, running into, bumping into people, going to the jailer's house to get your wounds washed, and there you are right there in that place, seeing the miracle and beauty of God as a whole man and his family were baptized and saved. They came out of a dungeon and saw the beauty of God right there in that place. We miss it so many times. But daily, God is with us. Take up your cross daily. Walking with God is, when you walk with Him, we should have this heightened awareness of the powerful, beautiful presence of God just in our average daily life. I don't know how many times, it seemed like it was so much easier sometimes when I first came to God. You know, it's something about that being a new convert, man. You can read the back of a Pringles can and find something God's speaking to you. It's just like anything. You see it everywhere. It doesn't matter. Because you're just constantly looking for God in anything. And I can remember just being. I didn't have a lot of people on the job that wanted to talk about God, and I worked in the area kind of by myself, and I had a little pocket Bible. I'd pull it out and I'd read it, and while I would read it, I'd just feel God just wash all over me, and He was just showing me stuff. And right there in the middle of that plant where I was working, sweating and dirty and just doing my job, but just feeling the presence of God, and I'd just be so happy. You know, everybody else is like, man, I'm tired. I hate this job. I'm like, man, God's good. Ain't God good? You're crazy. That's what you are. You know, they thought I was nuts. But it was just enjoying, because in His presence is fullness of joy. And the hard work didn't bother me. I was spending time with God everywhere. Anywhere, anytime I could get a chance to open the Scripture and look and read and just, or think about something, or think about what He was doing in my life, just not missing that presence of God. But it's just, you know, it's human nature. We tune out the divine so much. And it's not even because we're listening to bad stuff. But we're infected. These two guys, they were so busy trying to get to their destination that they couldn't understand who was walking with them. It's that destination virus. I've got to arrive. And that's the curse that plagues busy people. I got to get here. I got to get there. I'm so preoccupied with everything that's going on that I can't recognize His presence. In John chapter 1 and verse 10 and 11, it says that He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. This world's a beautiful place. You know, if you just took time to look around, I know that there's a lot of ugliness going on in the world. You watch the news, you see ugly stuff, but I mean, God created a beautiful place. While we were traveling, we saw some beautiful sights, things that I'd only seen in pictures, and to actually be standing in that place and thinking, I know who made this. Man, to stand up, we were on that cliff in that park and just looking for, you could see for hundreds of miles in every direction, and to think, I know who created this. I know Him, and He lives inside of me. And that gives you a whole nother sense of appreciation, because you're like, oh, God, You do good work. And it's like that everywhere, but it's not just in those places. It's in the everyday that we see this beauty. He made this. I live in this place. He created the world to be inhabited. We live here because He put us here. I don't want to miss Him in the day today. His chosen people, He came into His own, and they missed Him. They had plenty of scripture to tell them He was coming. They had plenty of scripture that they should have recognized the signs. He told them in one place, He said, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, He said, then let the works speak for me. Because the prophets wrote, this is what would happen when your God would come to save you. And you can't see it. They missed. He wept over Jerusalem and over the people. And you know what they missed? He said, you missed the things that belong to your peace. Beautiful, beautiful peace that you could have had in the midst of all your chaos if you had just recognized the time of your visitation. If you had just been aware that I was there. If you had just paid attention to what was going on. In Luke chapter 10 and in verse 41, Jesus, He answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou careful and troubled about many things. Destination, virus. Martha's worried about what's getting done. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Two sisters, one house, the Savior was there. One recognized, I'm not going to miss His presence. But the other one thought that my busyness in His presence was enough. God doesn't need you busy in His presence. He needs you sitting still and listening. That's when we get in here and, okay, there's two of them all gathered in His name. He's here in the midst. He's got to see me doing. But sometimes you need to be able to come in and just be still and sit at His feet and listen to what the Spirit is saying. Because you can be all that busy and you're not getting nothing. Oh, I don't want to come here, surely, and not be aware of His presence. I don't want to come here and I've worked myself to death, but now I'm hungry. Oh, I didn't eat. I was so busy making sure everybody else got fed, I didn't eat. I don't want to miss His presence. I don't want to miss every time you come here, just come on in and say, I'm here for maintenance, God. Oh, not me, I'm good. I'm here for maintenance, God. I need something, I know I do. So what is it? I may not recognize it. What is it? You know, you take your car in for maintenance and you think, oh, I'm just here for oil change, but about 10 minutes later, they're going to come out and tell you about all the things that's going wrong that you didn't know, whether they're telling the truth or not. They'll come in, I just oil change, and you're in there watching the news and drinking their coffee, and they come in and say, well, we got to looking, and your brakes are almost, they're down to this. You got a hose that's dry rotted. And sometimes it's true, sometimes it's things. They catch these things. You're there for maintenance, and they're fixing things that you didn't even know needed fixed. When I come in here, God, if there's something, see, now your mechanic might lie, but God ain't gonna lie. And Lord, if I come in here and I think it's just regular service, if there's something else needs maintenance, then I need you to walk on in here and check me. Let me be aware of what you're trying to do. So Martha was busy. Mary was at His feet. Look at the difference. Martha's exhausted. Martha's complaining. And Mary's refreshed. And she's learning. There is no service that is as important as His presence. We should strive to do everything with excellence, but we don't become so preoccupied with service that we forget about or miss His presence. Because a service without His presence is simply a show. That's all it is. If we're having a service without His presence, it don't do nothing. Because without Him, we can do nothing. We become creatures of, you know, all of us, creatures of habit. You know that over 40% of things that you do every day, you don't have to sit and think about, you just do it. Because you do it every day. There's a cue, something that, for most of us, it's an alarm clock. The alarm goes off. You automatically know because you do it. You have the same routine every morning. How many have the same routine every morning? Mostly? It might be, the alarm went off, I get up. Either you go right to the coffee maker to start the coffee, if you didn't set it the night before, which I like that function, that's nice. But you get up, maybe you go into the bathroom, you wash your face, you brush your teeth, you get woke up, and you're just doing it because that's what you do every day. You know, right where everything's at, you're just getting it. You're not thinking about it. You're not looking. You're not trying to figure out what to do. You just do it because it's what you do. You get dressed. You go get in your car. You start driving. You drive the route that you always drive. Or you walk to class the same route you always go because that's what you do. You don't have to think about it because you do it every day. It's a routine. It's a habit. And we can get like that. And get in a rut like that sometimes, and we miss that presence of God. If we're not careful, walking with God will become a mindless habit. Well, Sunday's when I go to church. Wednesday's when I go to Bible study. Tuesday's when we go to prayer meeting. You know, yes, we do that. There's nothing wrong with having a routine as long as it doesn't become routine. Yes, we do gather on Sundays, but it shouldn't just be a mindless drive here and then I sit and watch the clock and get up and go out. But I come with expectation. I come believing I'm going to be in His presence. I come expecting to see the glory of God. I'm going to be in the presence of the miracle worker. What could happen? This is Wednesday night and it was kind of low key, but what could happen tonight? It was a Wednesday night Bible study when God shook my world and got me here today. A Wednesday night and people were falling out in the floor and running the aisles and God was speaking through people and things were happening. It was that night that I jumped up, hit the altar. I was baptized that night and never looked back. It was just a Wednesday night. But He was there. And I thank Him every day that I didn't miss His presence that night, that I was aware that He was, because let me tell you, that burning guys felt, I felt that burning. Yeah. When I'm going up my whole testimony, but there was a scripture word that went forth, and as soon as it went forth, it hit me. Yeah. It's like somebody shot a flaming arrow into me, and it hit me, and I knew that God was speaking to me. Whoever else He was talking to, I didn't know, but I knew for a fact He was talking to me. Yes. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for it. I don't want to miss His presence. These two men walking were so grief-stricken and dejected that even as Jesus Himself drew near, they could not recognize Him. Trouble and trials and grief are real in this life, but we can't let these things numb us to the presence of God. While He spoke, their hearts burned, but they didn't recognize Him. Grief, troubles, trials, work, school, family, all that's real. But we can get so caught up in those things that we miss Him. Because when we're heartbroken, He said, I'm nigh. God is nigh to them that have a broken heart and contrite spirit. He's right there. I don't want to be unaware of God. Their destination virus stopped them from recognizing Him. Jesus showed up while they were sad. Sometimes we're sad and all we can see is we got so much self-pity that we can't recognize the comfort of the Savior. So God will show up when you're in that rut, while you're in the blues, while you're in the ditch, while you're low, when things are rough. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 6. It was in the year that King Uzziah died, in the time of death. Royalty dies, that's a big deal. And in this time when Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Just life for Isaiah until God broke in and showed him something breathtaking. All of a sudden, in the midst of life, in the midst of grief, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high, lifted up. Above his throne were the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, with two he did fly. One cried unto another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." The post of the door moved, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. God just stepped right in. But Isaiah could have been so stricken with grief that he never recognizes this moment, never has this time of prayer, never has this time of presence with God. And we can let these things in life stop us from recognizing that God is right here in the midst of it all. Jesus said, "Follow me." That was a divine interruption in the life of those fishermen. I'm glad they recognized it. It says, and they left their nets and followed him. We must be ready, not just for the rapture. Of course, we want to be ready for the rapture, but we need to be ready for whatever it is that God is trying to do in our day-to-day life until he gets here. I said this the other day, we can't live in the future. We do live for the future. We live for eternity. We want to live in the light of eternity, but we can't live in the future, and I can't live in the past. I can live in this moment, and in every moment, God is trying to speak to us. So God, whatever you're trying to do, we live in anticipation as we walk with him. What's next, Lord? What's next? I'm almost done. After Elijah had just defeated 450 false prophets of Baal, that wicked lady, Jezebel, sent word that I'm going to do the same thing to you. You're dead. He flees, runs, hides in a cave. He said, "Lord, it's enough. I'm done. Just take my life. It's over." But then here comes the wind. And then here comes the shaking, the earthquake. And then here comes the fire. But God wasn't in any of those. But then the still small voice. And Elijah went to the mouth of the cave, and the Lord said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah could have been so caught up in his fear, or so shook by the wind and the earthquake and the fire, that he missed that moment where God spoke, "What are you doing here?" We all go through difficult times. That's when we need to be still and listen to the voice of the Lord. The two men we started out with finally recognized Jesus after they were still, after they were sitting. They were about to eat, and in one final act, Jesus broke the bread and blessed it, and then he was gone. And suddenly they realized, when they got still, it was the Lord. When they could look back. But they had missed the moment. Maybe God was showing them. Because they got right up. I don't even guess they ate dinner, but it says they got right up and ran to the other disciples to tell them, we have seen the Lord. I don't want to miss him, though. How many miles did they walk with him where they could have got rid of that sadness? How many miles did they carry that grief when the one that could took the grief away was right there with them? But how many hours and miles walked sad, grief, upset, and there was the Comforter, the Prince of Peace, walking right with them? We carry it so many times because we're just not aware of his presence. You can stand with me. So what do you do? You find time. I don't know what your time is to. One man said, it's never about a question of do you have time, it's is it a priority? And that can be a tough pill to swallow sometimes, because we're busy and we're like, we're not intending to be so busy we miss time with him, but we do. But maybe it's early. One writer said, early will I seek thee. Would it really be that hard to set your clock for 30 minutes earlier than you get up and spend maybe 20 of that just reading two or three verses of scripture, being quiet, being still, and saying, God, what are you saying to me? What's this mean for me today? What's this mean for my life? What do you have for me today? I know that you're here because you're with me. So lead me today. Guide me today. Start out asking for the instruction. Get your marching orders when you get up. You order my steps in your word, Lord, so that I can make sure that I'm aware of your presence, that these encounters I have today are a God thing. There are people that say, well, God's just too hard to find. But we read the scripture at the beginning, in him we live, move, and have our being. And he said, God said, hey, if you'll feel after me, you'll find me. Well, the prophet Jeremiah said it like this in Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. When you just read that, you might think, well, that means he's not with me if I have to find him. He's always with you. Finding him is understanding. It's not, oh, there you are. When you find him, you find him right here. But he said, you got to seek me with your heart. When your heart is good, when you're mind is right, when you're meditating on him, your heart's good. You know, we've been praying, we've been doing, our heart is fixed on him. That's when you find him right there with you. Oh, it ain't hide and seek. He said, but I can be right with you and you not even know it until this. What did they say? It was our hearts burned within us. Well, if they had just listened to the heart, their eyes would have been open. It's the Lord. So seek him. Don't miss him. Be aware, because we started our year off talking about souls and Acts 1:8 telling us that we should receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Every day there'll be an opportunity for us to be a witness to somebody. He's with us. Be a witness for his presence, for his glory, for his good, for his love, for his mercy. Just be kind. Let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in your life. That's showing people the love of God and the mercy of God. Just do that. That's how you'll start becoming more aware of his presence just in the day-to-day.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.